Chapter 12. Magic is Might. As August wore on, the square of unkempt grass in the middle of Grimald Place shriveled in the sun until it was brittle and brown. The inhabitants of Number 12 were never seen by anybody in the surrounding houses, and nor was Number 12 itself. The Muggles who lived in Grimald Place had long since accepted the amusing mistake in the numbering that had caused Number 11 to sit beside Number 13. And yet, the square was now attracting a trickle of visitors who seemed to find the anomaly most intriguing. Barely a day passed without one or two people arriving in Grimald Place, with no other purpose, or so it seemed, than to lean against the railings facing Numbers 11 and 13, watching the join between the two houses. The lurkers were never the same 2 days running, although they all seemed to share a dislike for normal clothing. Most of the Londoners who passed them were used to eccentric dressers and took little notice, although occasionally one of them might glance back, wondering why anyone would wear such long cloaks in this heat. The watchers seemed to be gleaning little satisfaction from their vigil. Occasionally one of them started forward excitedly, as if they had seen something interesting at last, only to fall back looking disappointed. On the first day of September, there were more people lurking in the square than ever before. Half a dozen men in long cloaks stood silent and watchful, gazing as ever at houses 11 and 13, but the thing for which they were waiting still appeared elusive. As evening drew in, bringing with it an unexpected gust of chilly rain for the first time in weeks, there occurred one of those inexplicable moments when they appeared to have seen something interesting. The man with the twisted face pointed, and his closest companion, a podgy, pallid man, started forward. But a moment later they had relaxed into their previous state of inactivity, looking frustrated and disappointed. Meanwhile, inside Number 12, Harry had just entered the hall. He had nearly lost his balance as he apparated onto the top step just outside the front door and thought that the Death Eaters might have caught a glimpse of his momentarily exposed elbow. Shutting the front door carefully behind him, he pulled off the invisibility cloak, draped it over his arm, and hurried along the gloomy hallway toward the door that led to the basement, a stolen copy of the Daily Prophet clutched in his hand. The usual low murmur of "Severus Snape" greeted him. The chill wind swept him, and his tongue rolled up for a moment. "I didn't kill you," he said, once it had unrolled, then held his breath as the dusty jinx figure exploded. He waited until he was halfway down the hall to the kitchen, out of earshot of Mrs. Black and clear of the dust cloud, before calling, "I've got news, and you won't like it." The kitchen was almost unrecognizable. Every surface now shone. Copper pots and pans had been burnished to a rosy glow. The wooden tabletop gleamed. The goblets and plates already laid for dinner glinted in the light from a merrily blazing fire on which a cauldron was simmering. Nothing in the room, however, was more dramatically different than the house elf, who now came hurrying toward Harry, dressed in a snowy white towel, his ear hair as clean and fluffy as cotton wool, Regulus's locket bouncing on his thin chest.
"Shoes off, if you please, Master Harry, and hands washed before dinner,"
croaked Creature, seizing the invisibility cloak and slouching off to hang it on a hook on the wall, beside a number of old-fashioned robes that had been freshly laundered.
"What's happened?"
Ron asked apprehensively. He and Hermione had been poring over a sheaf of scribbled notes and hand-drawn maps that littered the end of the long kitchen table, but now they watched Harry as he strode toward them and threw down the newspaper on top of their scattered parchment. A large picture of a familiar, hook-nosed, black-haired man stared up at them all beneath a headline that read, "Severus Snape confirmed as Hogwarts headmaster."
"No,"
said Ron and Hermione loudly. Hermione was quickest. She snatched up the newspaper and began to read the accompanying story out loud.
"Severus Snape, long-standing potions master at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, was today appointed headmaster in the most important of several staffing changes at the ancient school. Following the resignation of the previous Muggle studies teacher, Alecto Caro will take over the post, while her brother, Amicus, fills the position of Defense Against the Dark Arts professor.